Okay, g'day everyone. Welcome back to the QSA podcast series. This is Eric Perez, the association CEO. Thank you for joining me again. So as promised, we have more content for you to engage with, and this is particularly important given that 1 September is fast approaching. Okay, welcome to the podcast, Mark Alexander. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm doing not too bad. So let's talk all things reform. And the thing I'd like to speak to you if we can, is the reporting requirements for the net fishery from 1 September. What's your general perception of these reporting requirements? What do you think the impact's going to be on industry from your experience, mate?
It's confusing. There's a lot of people that aren't going to be able to form with the requirements they're asking for. They're just confusing. It's hard. It's going to be real hard.
From your perspective as a commercial fisher, how is this going to impact you? Well, you've seen what the changes, the proposed changes are. How do you think it's going to impact you, mate?
Well, if it goes through like what I've read, we won't be able to operate. We won't be able to operate legally anyway. Every time we go fishing, we'll be breaching some law there. It's just so confusing, that complex, and that unnecessary, I guess, too.
Give me some specifics if you can.
Okay, so in the inshore fishery where I fish in the bay, we've got multi-species that we're going to have to report. There could be 4, 5, 6 species we might have to report on any given day, sort of thing. You go out fishing for the day, you tip more than one esky, you come back to the boat ramp that night, you're going to have to scoop them out, count the fish, weigh the fish on the boat ramp. You know, this could be 8, 10 o'clock at night, sort of thing, midnight. I don't know. It's scary. And then in the mullet fishery, they're wanting us to weigh large volumes of fish in 24 hours, I think, and we can't have another shot until we get that disposal, the CDR they call it, and have it properly weighed, which sometimes we don't get our fish weighed for a few days, depending on how much fish is at the factory, sort of thing.
It'll curtail your ability, the frequency of which you can go back out and fish.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you might only have one shot for the day. Other times, if depending on the size of patch that comes and how they come, you could have 3 or 4 shots for the day. And the way it's written, we can't do that until we dispose of the first shot we have, sort of thing.
Okay, so for the sake of those that are listening to the conversation, the reporting requirements that have come in, and we'll look specifically at the net fishery by way of example, is everything they're proposing in the reporting, the new reporting requirements, new to the fishery, as in none of what they're asking has been looked at before, or is it carrying on from current practice?
Not that I'm aware of. See, Taylor was a little bit similar. If you had over a certain amount, you had to report Taylor a while ago, but I think they changed that to a trigger point reporting thing now. So once you hit 80% or something of the TAC, you had to start reporting. So I don't see why they couldn't do that with the mullet, especially. Like, hit a trigger point and then we have to start reporting once it gets, up to 80 or 85%, whatever the figure they decide on. But in their wisdom, they've done this, so yeah.
So the table that I've got here with me that shows what the reporting requirements are under the East Coast Inshore, so that's the L1, L2, L3, N1, 2, 4, N10, N11, and all the K symbols. It's got a number of different categories that you tick off, and in your circumstance, it says that there's a pre-trip notice, an amending notice should something change from the pre-trip notice, a prior notice,
yep.
An emergency notice.
Yep.
Okay. You don't have to provide a transshipment notice. You have to provide a weight notice. Is that correct?
Yep.
You have to provide them your catch disposal record. Now, that's common practice, or is that new as well?
That's new for us, but because we weren't in quoted fisheries.
Daily catch and effort logbook.
Yeah, we've done that for a long time, yeah.
And the TEP logbook.
That's kind of a carry-on. It's just been named differently. It used to be the SOCI logbook, the Species of Conservation Interest
logbook. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So that one, they're all fine. We need logbooks and stuff, but just some of these, the way they've written it, it's scary. It's really scary.
So was there consultation of any kind you can recall in your part of the world where you fish, or seek some kind of feedback from commercial fishermen about how this might affect you?
No, nil. If you ask them if there was consultation, the fisheries department I'm talking, they'll say there was, but it was all online stuff. And I wasn't aware of any of this stuff in any of the online stuff I ever read about, asking for how we wanted to report stuff. It's just been dropped on our, in our laps, and yeah, we'll have to sort it out. We'll work around it while they find out glitches, so to speak, which there will be plenty of.
What are you hearing from other fishermen since this has become public knowledge?
Another fisherman who's quite a bit younger than me, who's another generational fisherman, he's talking about getting out of the industry. It's stressful. I've fished for 30-odd years full-time now, and I've still got probably another 20-odd years left in me fishing, I hope. But with this, I'm actually thinking about shifting to New South Wales and fishing down there.
That's a terrible outcome, and that's a message I hope the department is hearing. I talk to a lot of fishermen in this job, obviously, probably not as many as you, but I do talk to fishermen on a regular basis. And the one thing that seems to be coming out fairly regularly from my, you know, chats with these gentlemen up and down the coast is that there's an assumption that this department want us to fail. Do you get a sense of that?
Well, they are. They're setting us up to fail. I don't know why. I couldn't answer that. But I don't know whether they want us to fail or whether they just don't realise they're forcing us to fail. If they had some port meetings and that like they used to have, come around, get a bit of info, get a bit of feedback on what works and what doesn't work, we wouldn't be in this mess now, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, we've been, as an association, we've been out fairly strongly asking why the consultation process has been as it is, and maybe some of this could have been avoided. Now, the response from the department will be, well, in quota managed fisheries, we need to have this level of regulation, but you could get reporting that meets their needs without potentially undermining your ability to go out and fish. And in my understanding of the quota management system, if there are quota levels and you've only got a certain amount of quota, what is the why do they care if you did 1,000 trips in a day? Once you hit your quota level, you can't fish anymore.
I can't answer that one. Yeah,
neither can I. I don't think I'm talking verbal diarrhea, but I'm trying to understand this from another perspective, because I might be accused of not seeing it from their side. But it's hard to see it from their side when you see the degree of red tape that they're trying to throw at us. And if you're telling me you're seriously considering taking off, there's an economic impact of this as well that I don't think they've thought through very well. So once you're out of the picture and other fishermen decide to do the same, there's going to be a supply problem as well of fish, is there not?
Yeah, 100%. And it's not just us that's going to suffer. Like we catch a fair bit of fish, mullet-wise I'm talking, you know, well over 100 tonne just in a couple of months here at Noosa. So then you got, you know, the people that transport it back down to the factory for us. Then you've got all the processes at the factory, the ice, there's flow on effects. And just on your pre-trip notices and that, and the red tape they're putting on, they've got us on VMS anyway. They know exactly where we are 24 hours a day when we're working. So why do we need to ring them and tell them where we're going to be? That really does my head in. VMS, we've got to have it working before we go to work. They know where we are 100% of the time. I'd like someone to answer me that question.
Yeah, it's potentially another question to put to the department. Look, Mark, I appreciate your time. I'll get this out for people to have a listen to, and I'll also add this particular reporting summary so people get some understanding of just what these additional requirements mean. And it would be nice if the department is listening, that there's a reason why fishermen up and down the coast aren't engaging with you. There's a reason why there's no trust in this industry with this department. And these reporting requirements are one shiny example of just how bad management has gotten in the fisheries in the state, unfortunately. Mark Alexander, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Eric.
For those listening, this has been Eric Perez from the Queensland Seafood Industry Association. As always, thank you for following us, and we will catch you all on the next podcast.